To do that, and if there's a way, you can show me how to tap into your thing.
Chair's right here.
Yeah, either that or, well, I'd have to take the HDM out and put it in yours. I don't know.
That'll be easy.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so, using the microphone. Mm-hmm. Okay, All right, good morning for those of you who are up this early. It is 9 a.m. or so. This panel is going to run for a little less than an hour. I'm going to try to get out by about 10 of or 5 of, so that the next people can come in. My name is Bob Nelson. I'm also known as Anthracoon, and I've been doing conventions since 97. And in the past few years, I've done 5 different conventions and done panels. So, Anthro New England, Furcation Land up in Portland, Maine, FurPoc down in Stamford, Connecticut, and then Furrydelphia and Anthracon. Most often, I do classic cartoons, which is this panel. I've also done panels on Zootopia, including here at Anthro New England and FurPoc, and I've done gray muzzles and stuff. But this here is just a wild and crazy type thing where I'm going to play some clips and expose you to stuff you may not have seen before, but it's still kind of cute, and maybe ask you what sort of stuff you like, and it could be just about anything. Generally, it's going to be TV and movies since maybe the 40s on. We realize that Mr. Mouse there, what was it, Mickey Mouse, that first Disney thing is now public domain.
Just
with Steamboat Willie, just the earliest version, yes.
Yes.
So we've got that. But so most of the stuff I like was like 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and so on. Now, I'm going to be 62 in a couple weeks, so I grew up with this stuff on TV, usually on UHF in the afternoon or Saturday morning or things like that. And we would have all the different Hanna-Barbera shows and all sorts of stuff, Warner Brothers to Patty Freeling and so on. Now, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to roll some commercial-type things. This one, the sound might be kind of soft. It was just something from the 80s or 90s for Campbell's Soup. And it's got a cute little bear type thing. So let's see if I can get this to work. There it is. Might be soft.
I'm a teddy bear. The Campbell kids call me Ted.
He's got a great new suit.
Lift the mic a little.
Like he's dead. It's a soup full of bears. A teddy bowl full of fun.
I'm gonna make him out happy here.
Teddy bear.
Teddy bear. Mm. Good. Food teddy bear soup from Campbell's.
That's like Annie last year with our 90s theme.
Mm-hmm. And 1990s maybe on that one? I'm dehydrated a little bit, so it's not a cold. Don't worry. This here, Eric Goldberg. This was just a cute little cat for was it for a cat food or something? Oh, no, it's for Thompson Telephone Company. And the voice is a guy named Bill Oddie, who was in the goodies.
Do you know anything about her?
Well, who's that, sir?
Now, me know. You want to get the urge on for me party?
Yes, of course. Hairdressers. Hairstyle.
The Rolls.
Yep, I know that.
Garage services. Car.
No, Rolls Royce. The bread rolls.
Oh, sorry. Caterers. Look, look. There's one just around the corner.
And that. Oh, Thompson, you think of everything.
Oh, that's so true, Silla. But then, I've got a lot of answers.
Trust Thompson.
For the local answer, trust Thompson.
Yeah, kind of cute, a tomcat, you might say. And that's Cilla Black, who had a lot of British hits on the pop charts and got produced by George Martin and everything. This might be a very early Snap, Crackle, and Pop. We've seen a lot of the later ones, but give this one a moment here. As you can get a lot of these off YouTube, obviously.
Snap is the happiest sound I've found. You may clap, rap, tap, slap, but snap makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies. I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or the clock's not wound. Geese cackle, feathers tickle, bells buckle, beats pickle, but crackle makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies. I insist that pop's the sound. The best is missed, the less pop's around. You can't stop hopping, the cereal's popping. Pop makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies. Let's go for Kellogg's Rice Krispies. Snap, it's crackle, what a happy sound. You gotta have the crackle or the sound I found. You can't stop hopping, the cereal's popping. Snap, crackle, pop, makes the world go round.
Yeah, a lot of classic cartoons did, commercials and things like that for cereal. And you had Hanna-Barbera and everything, like Huckleberry Hound and all that. They would sell cereal, and you would have Post, like Linus Lionheart was like a big commercial featuring Sugar Bear going back then. Okay, here's a compilation. I don't know, just 5 minutes long or something. Let's see about this.
Billy, there's a new drink mix.
Our drinks are scrumptious.
Isn't it delicious?
Yay.
No blink.
Well, you'll love them, especially mine.
Let me taste. Oh, great.
Who's there?
Bunny, Tweety.
Sure.
What's up, Doc?
New Bugs Bunny and Pal's Drink Mix.
With 100% NutraSweet and 100% vitamin C.
Yeah, a lot of different characters in this one, obviously.
No matter who you
they had to get the rights.
Yeah. Mostly Warner Brothers, a classic media.
From Hanna-Barbera.
Should have the financial security they need. Not just the ones who can figure it out. Not just the most fortunate. Everyone. MetLife. I can do this.
What's the deal with the tie?
Tony, Thurl Ravenscroft.
Huh? My turn? Here goes nothing.
Supercharged Kellogg's Frosted Flakes cereal as part of a good breakfast can help bring out the tiger in you.
Tiger One, clear for takeoff. Tiger One.
Hey, man, you're supposed to let go of the ball.
Here.
1974.
Ah, Tommy, you're grown again.
Breakfast for everyone. It's the year of the tiger.
This is the year of the tiger. So have breakfast with the tiger of the year. Make it nourishing and tasty. Crisp and on the run.
Start with Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes. That's the one. Its secret toasted in frosting and eight essential vitamins and iron make for nutrition that tastes
great.
Cool it, cousin. I'll let you know when it's the year of the elephant.
Okay, Benny, remember the plan?
Sure, TC.
Good morning.
Scotland, I think, or England.
You can indeed, yep. My dear. I was hoping to bond you from a little moolah.
Moolah?
I need to borrow a little money for
yep. Oh,
right. Shall we take a seat?
Benny, you're up. My previous home has been destroyed, carried away by the trash men on the orders of Officer Dibble, and callously crushed.
Oh, that was awful. You poor thing.
I love that old home. Please help me buy a new one. Just think of the children.
No problem.
Really? No problem? I Benny, enough with the violin.
Okay, TC.
Now then, let's get down to business.
Okay. Shall we start with your name?
Tab Cat! Why, Officer Dibble, welcome to my humble abode. Won't you come in? Me and the boys are having a pool game in the library.
Ham Beer from Minneapolis.
Ham it up, ham it up, ham it up.
So this is live action animation combined.
Oh, love beat taste, a smile beat the bomb. Nothing beats the taste of a ham. It's going down.
Ham it up. To me the reason. This is the season. To ham it up.
There's just one way to tell a great beer from an ordinary beer. Taste. And nothing beats the taste of a ham's going down. Why settle for less? Have a ham's.
Just one more and I'll buy the round, cause nothing beats the taste of a ham's going down.
Ham, real draft. Why settle for less?
Yeah, there's some more ads here. One of these has Mike Farrow, who was later on MASH. He played B.J. Honeycutt. You'll see him. There he is.
Round after round it goes and never stops refreshing. Round after round, hands after hands. Round after round it goes and never stops refreshing. Hands that feel refreshing, never stops refreshing you.
What's Ham's secret? When you start with water best for brewing, you get a beer so refreshing you'll want to stay with it. Glass after glass, round after round.
Round after round it goes and never stops.
Learn the secret. Buy a round of hams.
Hey, kids, let's have some beer, you know. Of course, you had Spuds McKenzie and all that. Oh, they're selling a dog. They're having a dog, a cute little dog, sell, you know, beer for the kiddies and all that. I'm going to just go back and forth to some different things now. If I have the right one queued up here, here it is. Now, see, I call it classic cartoons. It can be something fairly recent. This was from a movie that came out in 2017, and you got to have some Weird Al. You got to have Weird Al. Here we go.
Tra-la-la!
Still a work in progress.
It's not a bird and it's not a plane.
Ha-ha!
And it's not an egg salad sandwich. It's the waistband warrior. Here am I,
la, la, la.
Hey, watch out, crap. It's Reggie Power Time. And I'm broken under yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speeding waistband.
I thought it was pretty good. It was pretty funny and everything like that. Now, Captain Underpants. Now, with me, by the way, I didn't have a chance to introduce him yet. Do you want to call yourself Zach Wolf or Sam Valentino, Toon Detective?
Yep, today, yeah, usually you know me as Zach Wolf, and I all of a sudden my utter persona, Sam Valentino, the Private Toon Detective. I thought that would be appropriate to wear to this panel.
So, just like, what is it, Eddie Valiant from
Eddie
Roger
Valiant
Rabbit?
From Roger Rabbit, if he were a toon.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Well, of course, you know, in the movie, his brother got killed by a toon.
Yes.
And you remember that whole thing and everything. Ooh. So you have been doing different stuff in Fursuit. You've been doing the Big Bad Wolf as well?
Yep, the Disney Big Bad Wolf. I'm sure a lot of you remember when I used to cosplay as that.
Yep, exactly. Now, you actually did a panel. Last year, our theme was trains, and you did something about train safety.
Yeah, I showed a bunch of clips from old cartoons of animals about safety around trains and tracks and such.
That's great. Yeah, you might have something that we can do somehow. I can somehow tap into it. You're going to play some interesting things, so that's cool.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm bouncing around a whole bunch of different things. Some of the things I like, for example, when you have cartoons in the real world mixing, of course, I mentioned Roger Rabbit. One of the things I've got here is Opposite the Track by Paula Abdul, where you have MC Scat Cat and all that sort of stuff. Now, I want to do something else. I was almost going to say this is recent, but this is actually 2006, okay? So, in a way, it's recent compared to some of my other stuff. Oh, okay, that is it. Good.
When the cat's away, the mice will play. The holiday starts now, everyone. Music, maestro.
That one time Aardman animation veered the CGI.
Yeah. I have this on DVD. I haven't watched it yet. Someone gave it to me.
Got a big day plan. Let's go, people. Chop, chop.
Nope. 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 Nope.
I wish it was louder.
Welcome up, everyone. Oops, sorry.
Having a good time, darling?
Oh, thank you.
I think that's the end of it. Yeah, that I love this, things like that are kind of cute. I also like Giant and Tiny, so to speak. I started a website way back in 98 called shrinkingman.com that has all sorts of stuff like that. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Making it a little easier to see the screen. So there you have a mouse, but he's almost like a man in a way, and he's in, you know, the big world and all that sort of stuff, but he's adapting to different things. The littles, the borrowers, anything like that, you see the same sort of thing. But that's cute. That's come flushed away, the Aardman animation. Okay, they did that. So I've done a whole bunch of different things here, like I say. I'm showing different stuff. One of the things I might show later is a Dudley Do-Right cartoon that was actually banned for a while because it made Smokey the Bear look bad. And when I showed it at Anthrocon, it was ironic because it dealt with forest fires. And do you remember last summer? Was it last summer or the summer before? Maybe it was last summer. Where they had the Canadian wildfires. And yes. You could go out in the streets of Pittsburgh and you'd smell the smoke. Yeah. So that was appropriate. So I may show that a little later. I'm just showing a bunch of different little things that you may never have seen before. Now, this here, The Critic, I think some of the same people that did The Simpsons
were
involved with this. And John Lovitz is the voice. And yes, the actual Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert, the film critics, are doing this. So I have to keep doing this to get the sound.
Our movie in first class today is the sequel to Rain Man, entitled Snowman.
Now, I want to warn you, your brother is a little special.
5 minutes to northern exposure. Gotta see moose. Gotta see moose.
I wish I was in first class with Siskel and Ebert.
Chicken or fish?
Fish, please.
No, I mean, which is it? Chicken or fish?
There it is, Raymond. Las Vegas, hottest city in America.
Definitely melted. Very bad. Very bad.
Well, I thought that film was very poignant, particularly the scene where Tom Cruise walks around Las Vegas with a bucket full of his brother.
Oh, come on, Gene. That was just another pointless sequel that didn't have to be made.
This? From the man who liked Benji the Hunted?
Hey, you like Carnosaur.
Well, I'll bet you'll like this. Hasta la vista, Porky.
Cue ball in a side pocket.
Oh, I wish I were like Siskel and Ebert.
Shush, you are obsessing with them.
The Twilight Zones.
Yeah, The Critic could do so many different things like that because there's all these sorts of movies you can spoof and things like that. So that was great to have The Critic there.
Did you notice that in the shot in the desert, he calls him Rain Man and not Snowman?
Oh, yeah. Oh. He called him that, yeah.
I got John Lovitz's autograph at Fan Expo Boston on the picture of Jay Sherman.
Right, yeah. Now, I'm going to have a very short clip from The Flintstones that has... is it just Samantha or maybe Samantha and Darren? I think it's just Samantha in a bit of a crossover. Now, first of all, Bewitched, the intro was done by Hanna-Barbera, you know, the cartoon intro. So they had Darren, I think Dick York at the time, not Dick Sargent, and Samantha, Elizabeth Montgomery in this. Now, I live in Beverly, which is across the river from Salem. There actually is a Bewitched statue there. There's Elizabeth Montgomery flying on a broom and all that. So this is very short, but this is, again, the Flintstones kind of, you know, Hanna-Barbera acknowledging that they did the intro to Bewitched. Yeah, you can barely hear this. Sorry about this. But you got captions. It was kind of interesting, but that show, Bewitched, people are watching it one week and going, why does Darren look different? All of a sudden, they had to put a different actor in, you know? It's one of these oddball things of TV shows, just like in The Sopranos. You have a guy in a bakery, and then a few episodes later, he shows up as a totally different character, the same actor, Ganesh Kohli or whatever. They decide to put him in. It's like, wait a minute. It happened, what, in MASH? Harry Morgan played the General Flip to Don that episode, and then he shows up as Colonel Potter, the same actor. So that's kind of weird. Well, anyway, yeah, I've been showing some interesting little things here. We had some Weird Al for you. Let's see, what was this one? Now, I do like mob-related stuff, you know, The Godfather, Goodfellas, The Sopranos, and so on. And you did have a cartoon that Patty Freeling did called The Dogfather, which came out shortly after The Godfather came out. This was from Animaniacs, and it's The Goodfellas. So yes. You probably remember this one.
My introduction to Goodfellas as a kid.
Can you believe them girly birds asking us to get hooked up with them?
Yeah, they got some kind of nerve trying to disrupt our bachelor food.
Hatching eggs, raising little good feathers. I don't know if I'm ready.
God, pigeon.
The God Pigeon says that as head of the family, he feels obligated to amuse us with occasional teeter-totter pranks.
A beak full of sand is not comical. Is that comical?
The God Pigeon
says
it's amusing. It's amusing, you know what I'm saying?
That's one of the advantages of being God Pigeon, Pesto.
I wish I
so obviously they're doing the Pesci and De Niro and Liotta there and everything. So that's kind of cute. So we have that. Let's see, some of these other things. I already showed you a lot of these things. We can go back to the ads and everything. But let me take this chance now to ask some of you guys. Some of you are a lot younger than me. Some of you might be close to the same age. What sort of stuff did you like, you know, when you were growing up on TV and in movies and everything like that? And did any of it get you into furry? Did you say, you know what, I love this whole thing about cartoon animals? Okay, go over there.
SWAT Cats, the Radical Squadron.
SWAT Cat, 90s?
Yeah.
From Hanna-Barbera.
Between Ninja Turtles and SWAT Cats, I think those two shows were like the earliest things I can remember that were furry that got me interested in it. And funny enough, the same voice actor who played Donatello played Razor in SWAT Cats, and I had a feeling because I liked Donatello because he was the nerdy guy, and even though like Michelangelo is also one of my favorites, the fact that he voiced the other character who was like a gadget guy in SWAT Cats, like that was the character I fell in love with in that show, and I feel like that show is what got me like just that little bit like wanting to explore the furry world was that show. And it's a shame the show like only got like two seasons because it was one of the things that got hit for violence back in the early 90s.
Yeah. Over the years, there have been different things. People kind of, you got to crack down on the violence and the language and things like that. And we must protect the tiny tots, as Stan Freberg said in Elderly Man River, and different things like that. And they even had some Simpsons episodes where they had, was it Marge or something was crusading against Itchy and Scratchy and all that. So they were doing that sort of thing. Sit down. Feel free. I was going to say, we're going to have people coming in and out because some people got to get the stuff out of their rooms. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a Therian, so for me, my furry identity is much more serious. So, of course, I was, the cartoons that really, got me into the furry and made me realize who I was were, very realistic cartoons with, heavy spiritual and political themes, like The Lion King and Watership Down and Balto.
Yeah, they showed Watership Down on British TV, and it's like, oh, it's got little bunnies in it. Oh,
no,
and they had to apologize because of the violence.
I'm not going
to
get into any of my serious stuff, but Watership Down is actually what radicalized me and what made me realize I was a furry. So because of all the spiritual and political themes that really resonate with me.
That's great. Wasn't there something on HBO like The Animals of Farthing Wood from England or something, and it might have been similar? Okay, back there.
I think the first show that I watched that was furry adjacent. I remember rushing home from elementary school to catch Crypto the Super Dog.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't catch the last part. What was that?
Super Dog.
Yeah, I've seen some episodes of that. Crypto the Super Dog, exactly. Okay, Joe.
I'm older than you, by the way, so you are not the oldest furry.
Yeah, I'm going to be 62 in a couple of weeks. I'm going to get my first hearing aid. Finally going to get a hearing aid, okay?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Nowhere near me. Anyway, being a baby boomer, it was the Looney Tunes.
Yes.
5 days a week after school, come home to Channel 5, watch a half hour of them. Saturday morning was the Bugs Bunny show. And I like to say I was totally marinating those Looney Tunes. I wanted to be part of that world. And that's what turned me furry, and this is a long time before furry existed, so I'm one of those people who, when furry came along, nobody had explained it to me. I was already there. It was totally a whole lifetime of being prepared for furry when it finally showed up.
I grew up in the 90s, and Looney Tunes was a big reason why I became a furry, so you can probably tell by how my fursona looks.
Yep. And wasn't there a controversy recently where they filmed a Wile E. Coyote movie or something?
Coyote
and they decided they were going to trash it. They made it and they were going to shelve it to save money. And people were saying, "What are you doing?" Back there.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh yes. I'm trying to whistle like he does or whatever. What's his name again? Just the actor there.
George Clooney
has done a bunch of other people as well. I've seen that a few times. I've got that on DVD. So that's Roald Dahl, and the guy that did it was Sam Wes Anderson.
Yes.
Yeah, Wes Anderson. He also did Isle of Dogs, which I've seen a couple times.
Oh, that is great.
I saw that at the theater in Brookline. Yeah. And then I saw it again on video. Anyone else?
Sorry.
Back there.
Did you ever watch Fiona and Kate?
Is that on one of the cable channels or something?
It's a spin-off of Adventure Time.
Adventure Time I've heard of, yeah.
Yeah, it's a spin-off with the gender bent versions.
Okay. So you have Fiona and Kate, you called it?
Fiona and Kate. So they're okay. Kate and Jake. And it is, I think, the best animated thing I've seen, period, ever. It came out in September, and season 2 is coming next year, or 2035 probably. And it is phenomenal.
They gave it their own season, their own show?
They gave it their own show. So there was three or four gender-bent episodes in Adventure Time, where it was every character, but, gender-bent, an entire show. It is, it's more for adults than, there's violence, there's swearing in it.
Yeah.
But it is so good. There's great queer themes, great music. I mean, fantastic music. It is just, perfect.
That's great. It's some of the different furry cons. We've had people like voice actors and animators and things like that. Going way back into Anthrocon, at one point we had Dan DiCarlo, who created, among other things, Josie and the Pussycats. His wife Josie was sort of the inspiration or whatever. And so Dan and his wife were in the dealer's room, And this woman named Lisa Jennings dressed up as Josie and started dancing around to Josie and the Pussycats. That was kind of fun. So we had that. And then Rob Paulson, who did so many different voices.
Yeah, I just want to say, Fiona and Cake, within Adventure Time, started as one of the characters' fanfic.
Okay.
I forget which character.
Ice King's fanfiction. Ice King.
There's certain things I may not necessarily be into that you might, but in recent years online and various things, there have been stuff like someone did Star Fox, the animated series. They did episode 1, and now there's been episode 2. I thought that was pretty good. And Lackadaisy.
Oh, yeah.
I love Lackadaisy. I think that's really good. That was very well done. I talked before about doing Zootopia. I've done Zootopia panels. So we finally got the Zootopia Plus series, and I had Disney for a while, Disney Plus for a while, so I was able to see that. So that worked out pretty good. And we're waiting for Zootopia, too. So I think one of my co-hosts that did Zootopia over... Yeah, there he is, Dapper back there, co-hosted. I actually was his assistant right here at A&E doing a panel on Zootopia. I love Zootopia, that whole universe. Anyone else? Okay, back there, yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I guess three things, right? So one was like, was it Fox and the Hound? Like,
yep.
All those like good Disney oldies. Another thing, more recently, was Final Space. That was a really cool series I really loved. And sort of like, also like I used to draw comics a lot, and I really took a lot of inspiration from Snoopy, but like the whole Charlie Brown like universe, or the Peanuts universe actually. So just sort of those things, yeah.
Yeah, I remember when the Peanuts movie that came out, that was not too bad. We had all the TV specials, of course, over the years and different things. Now,
four theatrical movies before that, too.
Right, of course.
My favorite
Run
one.
Run for Your Life, Charlie Brown was one of them. And
my favorite, Bon Voyage, Charlie Brown.
That one. Now, how do I do this, by the way? You have something you wanted to show. How do I go about that? You may know it more than I would. Or should I just take the HDMI and put it here?
Is it my turn to show?
Well, yeah, I know you wanted to show something.
Oh, no,
I'm
just
keeping an eye on the clock.
I was just getting it ready. If you're talking about Zootopia and ready to show.
Okay.
And just show.
Unless you just turn your thing around, but it's tough for everyone to see.
Oh, no problem. We can
How do I do that?
Just unplug the HDMI from that.
Unplug the HDMI, okay.
And we'll plug it into this.
There you go. You know how to. Okay, so he's got an extender or something like that. Okay, so can you see it now? You will in a moment,
it's
right?
It's going to be loading.
It's going to be loading.
Bob, I wanted to say the creator of Lackadaisy was at Anthrocon last year.
Oh, right. Just forgot her name real quick. She's from Boston, too. The artist?
They had a booth at the...
You want to connect your... whatchamacallit?
It's up there. Is it ready?
Yeah, do you want to connect your audio thing to USB?
Okay. Will that go onto your thing? Bluetooth?
It's also USB up.
Wired
is better. Now so it's just
is this a YouTube poop or something?
No,
did,
it's
or?
The real. It's the real one.
It's the real one. It's one of the episodes of Zootopia Plus. We can't see the whole thing because it's.
I'm going to show the best part.
Yeah, we got 20 minutes left, so we got.
I'm going to show the best parts of it. It's actually coming from the projector.
Oh, that's why. Okay. They can hear it.
I know. Definitely like a modern take on Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Shakira's character is even like their equivalent to Alan Adale, voiced by Roger Miller.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Remember that panel?
Yeah.
I'm going to smear my mascara. We have a winner! Come on!
But alas.
Oh, yeah. It was all a dream, or it was all a fantasy, or whatever.
Yep. How, and I'll, there's also that brief, ex, a brief, and I'll show you a brief bit from my, what's it called, my, a brief, something I showed at last season through New England, my panel about cartoon train safety.
Yeah, you got a little bit of that.
Yeah, this is a clip from the 1992 railway safety video, Sly Fox and Birdie.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, where, can you expand it? There you
go. Yeah, there's a, in it, it features a dumb fox and a smart bird.
Ah.
First, the animal stereotypes the fox keeps getting into
okay,
all
the
kinds
sound
of
will
situations.
Come out of there. Good.
Like he keeps like fooling around with the tracks and trains and such, and Birdie has to get him out of danger. And so there's a brief bit of where they talk about trestles and tunnels where this looks like
Let's take a hike. I can't. Come on. There's no trains coming.
Wait, Foxy. Sly. Oh, I'd better tail him before he gets in more trouble. It's kind of dumb to hike along the train track. Look at my friend happily following the tracks, which lo and behold leads us to a railroad bridge.
A bridge. Bridges are made for crossing.
Oh no, bridges don't have sidewalks. If a train were to come.
It's just like Stand By Me. Train!
Get hit by the train. Two, jump off the bridge.
I think I'll go for choice number two.
Pretty loud.
You got the picture. The trouble with being around railroad tracks is getting yourself in a place where you can't get away from the train.
The tunnel.
Just this railroad tunnel, for instance. It's only wide enough for the train. Like the bridge, there's no sidewalk.
And I mentioned, it's even worse, because you can't jump off a tunnel the way you can.
Out of my way,
but of course.
Take a shortcut through the tunnel.
Not again. Hey, wait, Foxy. I was just telling a friend.
Yeah, tell me all that. I'm late. I'm in a hurry.
Fine, Sly. If you're caught in the tunnel when a train comes,
run away.
You can't run or ride fast enough to get out.
Here comes a great line. Yep.
Wile E. Coyote's laws of physics, too, and everything. And all that
exactly.
Sort of stuff. You got that. Yeah, that was great. I mean, there are a whole bunch of public service announcements and stuff, like Smokey the Bear that deal with that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Back there. Back there.
If it's time, could you throw on Not Myself?
Here, you can reconnect.
It's like
30
seconds.
Yeah, wait, okay, so is it something on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I have it upside down. Here somewhere.
What year was that from?
1992.
92, wow,
okay. Yeah, it looks a little Sesame Street-ish, the animation.
Was it an American cartoon?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, but a Union Pacific Railway.
First, let me unplug that. And.
You guys
have
never saw that before. That was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. I saw it when I was in elementary school.
Right.
I like how it was like extremely obvious. Like he's saying dumb. It's like
And they pull no punches either. Birdie keeps saying that he could get hurt or even killed doing that stuff.
But just like the smallest kid could not understand. You know, it's like he's saying he's dumb. He's proven it.
Wait,
I'm trying to find the. Yeah, it's here. I gotta just put it in the right slot. There it is.
Yep.
Okay, it's supposed to be kind of upside down. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like a little upside down type thing. Like this. Why did it work? It worked for me before.
Well, maybe I
can. There it is. Now I got it. And now I'll plug in the mouse again. There we go.
Yeah. And and the USB speaker.
And the USB speaker. You got to plug that in again.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
Bluetooth speaker.
Yep. Here we go.
Why am I getting the same trouble now? There it is. Okay. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're back here. Now, what was... you asked me to find something on YouTube, or what was it?
It's called Not Myself.
Not Myself. That sounds familiar. I don't know if you were here last year or one of the other cons. Not Myself, it's called?
It's Not Myself from Fiona and
Kate. Oh, that. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought someone might have even mentioned that at my last time I did this or one of those. So, Not Myself, Fiona, and Kate or Cake?
Cake.
Cake?
Like
yeah.
The dessert.
All right. That's what I thought it was, yeah.
Hey there.
And since we mentioned public service announcements after this, we got to tell them about Stokey.
Yeah,
that I'd make sure of that, actually. A minute long. Is this the one?
Yes.
and dreams are shattered. I'm not really feeling like myself today.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Thanks for the tip on that. Yeah, there's been so much different, like, more modern...
Click cancel. It's gonna...
Oh, I know. Yeah, I gotta... Escape? That's what it is. Okay. So yeah, there's been some nice little cartoon music. I mean, now, of course, it's more of an adult show, but South Park, with all the stuff, like my friend Kyle's mom is a big fan, you know, or the Blame Canada and things like that. As a matter of fact, when that song was up for a Best Oscar for a Best Song or something, and it lost, but they had Robin Williams and a bunch of people up there. Now, because it was on network TV, they couldn't say... Tell me to blank, so, you know, F myself, I won't say it. But so everyone all sort of gasped. So Robin Williams is singing it, you know, and they changed a couple other words. So it did lose, but I like Blame Canada and things like that. So anyway, okay, so some of the other stuff real quick I was going to play. Okay, let's get to Dudley, okay? Yes. I don't know if I'm going to play the whole thing, but I may have to join it in progress slightly because we're a little pressed for time.
Woods full of trees. Trees, a major source of income for both Canada and Joyce Gilmer. Also, dog's best friend. The tallest trees in Canada were to be found on Mount Up, a fir-clad pinnacle that stretched itself skyward 63 feet below sea level. Just down from Mount Up was a vast sprawling lumber camp consisting of 400 lumberjacks and a jackknife. You are now looking at Red Wood, Canada's wealthiest woodman who spares no tree in supplying the demands of a wood-hungry world.
Sicily is running low on toothpicks. We gotta get out 5 million by sundown. To the forest, man!
That call sent every man to the tree of his choice. Up they went, but before they could begin cutting, a very strange thing happened.
Do you smell anything, boss?
Just a little wood smoke.
Can you hold that right there?
Burning something.
Hold that.
It was burning all right. Hold my phone.
I got to read from my power cord.
There's a fire bug loose.
Not a fire bug, a fire bear. It was Stokey, who for years had been helping to prevent forest fires. He wasn't the same Stokey now, mainly because he was under the hypnotic influence of that foul ball of the Great Northwest, Snidely Whiplash. Why are you doing this, Mr. Whiplash?
How else can you barbecue hot dogs?
Do it again, it must not be put there.
Captain Hook's voice actor.
Now, go light a fire somewhere.
Now, when Canada has a problem, the mounted police have a problem. And their problem is Dudley Do-Right, the inspiration for the famous folk song, Why Don't You Do-Right?
Onward, faithful steed, we must reach Mount Up before sundown.
2 weeks later, Dudley and Red Wood discussed the problem out in the open, as there was no place else to discuss it.
What seems to be the trouble here?
It's Stokey the Bear. He's gone ape.
Ooh, that rat. Give me a description of him.
Well, weighs about 700 pounds, fur coat, cinnamon color, wears a Mountie hat.
That's not very much to go on. Anything else?
He's a bear.
Armed with that information, Dudley took up Stokey's trail, which was still hot. Day after day, the relentless pursuit wore on, although there was no sign of his quarry, Dudley was getting warmer all the time until finally the trail took him into Quebec.
Stokey the Bear? No, I haven't seen him.
Well, I have reason to believe he is in your midst.
I'll check on him. Fireman, fall in!
Down the firehouse hole they slid. Unfortunately, whoever designed this firehouse did a poor job as there was a hole on the ground floor. Assembly was held in the basement.
All right, Constable, look him over.
Dudley went down the line carefully scrutinizing each and every man. It was then when he came to the fifth man in line, he stopped still in his tracks.
This man didn't shave this morning.
And on he went, continuing his search.
Looks like you were wrong, Constable.
Dudley was about to agree when suddenly...
Thank you.
A three-alarm fire broke out somewhere in the city. Like the noble force they are, the firemen responded instantly. Off they roared at 90 miles an hour, only to realize that
there
the three-alarm fire had broken out not in the city, but in their firehouse.
Thank you. It's a bad connection, that thing.
The chief and his men fought desperately to control the raging fire. Each man did his job and did it well. All but one, who was nonchalantly toasting marshmallows.
Chief, that man is shirking his duty.
You mean Stokey, the new man?
Stokey?
The chase was on. But before our hero could grasp the elusive bear, he shot up the fire pole and disappeared. By now, the fire was hopelessly out of control, and the fighters joined the spectators. Then a gasp came from the crowd as the lone bear was seen standing on the roof, flames licking his feet.
It is he, and I must save him.
Unmindful of the danger, Dudley rushed into the burning building and fought his way to the roof. The chief also sprang into action and ordered his men to bring out the safety net.
Unfortunately, the crew grabbed a hula hoop by mistake and... The bear landed on Dudley. Dudley landed on his head. 2 weeks later, at Redwood's logging camp...
Tell me, Inspector, whatever happened to Constable Do-Right and Stokey the bear?
Well, I was all for putting Stokey in the poker. But Do-Right felt a change of scenery and some home cooking would do him more good, so he took him to stay with some friends of his in Chicago.
Oh! Now remember, Mrs. O'Leary, we'll blame it all on the cow.
There we go. Yeah, that was great. So Rocky and Bullwinkle, the writing, the performing. I mean, it wasn't like Disney animation with its detail and things like that, but it still was very entertaining. And one thing about, you know, talking about Zootopia and everything, people were saying it looks too real. It looks like photography. You know, I mean, it's got the cartoonish type characters, but everything looked pretty detailed and everything.
Rocky Bullwinkle's a classic example of how good writing could save bad animation.
Right, and but even that's really not all that bad. I mean, there's Clutch Cargo and things like that with the superimposed moving lips and all that. There actually is, okay, a guy named Jerry Beck has been known to play the big Comic-Con out in San Diego, and he does worst cartoons ever. And in the past... I've shown one called Super President, which, I mean, it's only about a minute long, the little promo type thing, so I mean, play that. So there are some really bad cartoons. I do want to mention, by the way, for books, there are some authors you might want to check out. Now, Mark Arnold does a whole bunch of things. He's got a book about Total Television. He's got a book called Think Pink about the Patty Freeland Studios. Yep. And he's got Alvin about Alvin and the Chipmunks.
I have that too.
I have all of these. And some other ones as well. And Jerry Beck has a whole bunch of things. He has one called The Hanna-Barbera Treasury, which is probably very rare. It might be a couple hundred bucks now if you get it. So he did a whole bunch of different books. And about the furry fandom, this man over here, Joe Strike, has written Furry Nation and Furry Planet. The latest is Furry Planet, and it's all about the furry fandom, and I'm on page 31, so I have to tell people that. But he is great, and you may want to check out his stuff. So was it joestrike.com? I mean, people can find you. Joe Strike.
Furrynation.com is the best place to go.
By the way, Joe, are you Therian too? Are you Therian like I am?
Not really, but that's one of those topics I didn't get into either book I really wanted to get into. If I do anything more, it's one of the areas I want to cover.
Because I noticed you mentioned you referred to some furries who were mad as toddlers if they didn't have tails. I've always been that furry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Anyway, I'll put some cards up here. It's got my email address on it.
Yeah, there's an article online, WBUR, the big NPR station here, did an interview with Joe all about this convention, and you could probably find that. So look for WBUR and Anthro New England and things like that.
WBUR.org.
WBUR.org, you want to go here. Now, this is a minute long. I've got maybe 5 minutes or so before I have to break things down because we have another panel coming. This was, I want to say, the very first Patty Freeland cartoon, or maybe it's the second. They had another one called Super 6, which wasn't that bad. And later on, of course, well, before then, they had the Pink Panther, because they started making the Pink Panther cartoons for the cinemas, then they came to television. So this is around 62, 66, 67 or so, and it's a president who's also a superhero.
I must change to steel.
Paul Frees.
Those walls back.
He was
Super
everywhere
president.
At that time.
The 1966 TV cartoon, whose secret identity is, well, he's the president. We know who he is.
Come on, man.
I think it was just a big fiasco. Super president. I mean, it's, you know, super president. Wow. Would you think of a superhero as super president? That's like saying super senator. I mean, it's stupid.
Anybody mind if I take my pill?
How about the stuff that was on Saturday Night Live where they had, what was it, the Anatomicals? They had that. They had the behind the Disney Vault. That one.
Yeah, that was Saturday TV Funhouse.
Saturday TV Funhouse. You had that.
Whoa. Welcome to Channel Zero TV with John and John.
You accidentally get the...
Hold on, John.
It's going again.
Okay. And today we're going to bring you...
How the media really operates.
Oh, that one. Yeah, the Mediaopoly. Yeah, that was kind of controversial because it took NBC to task and their owners, GE, and things like that. Let's see. I wanted to play Well, this is just a very... I can only play a couple minutes of this. This is some macro micro.
Uh-oh, it's Pumpkin.
I aims to blunderbuss you all here to
Pumpkin Puss, Hanna-Barbera.
Hoo-wee! Effing that don't take the rag off in the bush. I ain't no bigger than Mushmouse.
Well, suffering cat fingers. How could this have possibly happened?
Sabrina, the teenage witch from Filmation.
Now all the dogs on the block will look up to me.
Alice McKinnon.
Yep.
There you are.
Now this is a live action film, but it kind of ties in. Shrinking Man.
They use Scooby-Doo's licking for hot dog licking.
Yep. Hitchhiking Private Eyes.
It is traditional for the dog to chase the cat, not vice versa.
We'll be there soon, Uncle Lynch.
Soon may not be soon enough.
Sorry, by like Get Smart and all that.
I'm caught up with him.
Microscopic Melton.
Yeah.
This one we know. Now, do they have their own police force in Little Rodentia or what, you know? She's the only rabbit officer or whatever. They've got to have their own little cop, you know? They got it. Their own transit system. They got the tubes.
Yeah. Not even Robin Hood had that.
Yeah, Zootopia Plus had Duke the Musical with a whole big thing on him, Alan Tudyk. Zootopia was supposed to premiere. They said certain cities would have sneak preview showings. So Thursday, okay, this is Dennis the Menace. Thursday the 3rd of March, I went to like a 9 o'clock showing, and I put my tail on, and I still attended. And this little girl in the audience started crying when Judy turned in her badge. Poor Judy. And I think a lot of us cried, too, when Nick was bullied, that whole scene there. So yeah, this is Dennis the Menace.
For me? You guys go for the real heavy duty stuff.
That's mostly near the end of it. Oh yeah, this is just something, I don't know, a Bigfoot type thing, a big paw. And what was at the end of this? I'm trying. Oh yeah, that was just a little montage I did. And then this is live action, Lion of the Giants, 1969 or so. Irwin Allen, the master of disaster. There we go. Okay, we have to get everything all backed up because we have another panel coming in about 5 minutes. I want to thank everybody. If you have a last-minute question or something, go right ahead. Anything? Everyone all set?
Well, let me just say, if anyone wants a set of Furry Nation, Furry Planet, or either one, if anybody wants an autographed copy, I just happen to have a couple with me. I'll put that out there.
Yep. That sounds good. I mentioned I do this panel at different conventions. I think I put in for it at Furcation Land in April in Maine, and I'm definitely going to do it again at Anthrocon. So, you know, I know people here. I actually had some groupies at one convention. We were all at this, hot dog place or something. They said, oh, wow, you're doing your classic cartoons again. Oh, I love that. So, anyway, Thanks for attending. Now, we still have other stuff coming up. There's some interesting panels, and then closing ceremonies are at 6, but thanks. I think the next panel is about the joy of watching movies or something like that, so I'm going to tear my stuff down, and we'll be all set. Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I wanted to finish on time.
I'm glad I was able to
Sounds
help.
Sounds good. Okay, there's a stop button, and we'll get things. Thanks again. Yeah, that was good. So this thing.